love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen. The first reading this morning is from Daniel. The Lord spoke to Daniel in a vision and said, "At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish, such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars, forever and ever." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The second reading is from Hebrews. Every priest stands day after day at a service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God and has since been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," says the Lord, "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we now have great priests over the house of God, let's approach with true hearts in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting and meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Privately, tell us when will this be, and Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pains. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm very glad to be with you this morning. Thank you for inviting me. I wish I weren't quite as limpy as I am. And I hope when I come back at the end of December, I will be doing cartwheels down the center aisle. Well, our Eucharist this morning celebrates the Sunday once removed from the end of the church year. Next week is Christ the King. We finish up the church year with that celebration of Christ as King. Today we have in our theme of scriptures something very important for us at this time in the life of this congregation. And that theme is that in times of uncertainty and change, hold on to hope, hold on to Jesus, hold on to each other. Today marks the beginning of a time in the life of this community, a time of uncertainty and change, a time to hold on to hope, the hope that we find in Jesus our Lord, and a hope that we find in this community. I was honored in the last 10 years of my ministry to do what we call interim ministries. In five different congregations, all very different in the reasons the priest left, but the work was the same, saying a sad goodbye and finding out how to say a new hello. That's the work that this community begins today. There are many questions and concerns on your mind, I'm sure. And in your hearts, you're wondering, how will we do this? Where will the strength come from to get us to the new place? And the answer, of course, is that the strength will come from you, who are part of this congregation. You are what makes this a branch of the body of Christ. Times of change are not easy for us, and we need encouragement to see us through such times. And encouragement is what we find in our second reading today. It comes from that book of Hebrews. We call it the Letter to the Hebrews. We've been listening to that for the last 7 weeks. But I'm afraid that book of Hebrews is one of those letters in the New Testament that's so, what shall I say, convoluted sometimes, that you can sit there and listen to all these words going over you, wondering if it's worth the effort to try to figure out what in the world the man is talking about. And this lesson this morning was quite like that. And where's our reader?
He went to Sunday school.
He did a good job reading that, I thought. And you followed every word of it, didn't you? Did you understand every word of it? It's hard. The letter to the Hebrews is one of those books in the New Testament that nobody knows who wrote it. About the 6th century, Jerome and some other scholars decided that St. Paul must have written it. So for years, we've always called it the letter of Paul to the Hebrews. And there's no way, people that know Greek tell me, there's no way that Paul could have written it. And in the 2nd century, one of the church fathers named Origen said that the author of Hebrews is known only to God. And that's the way it's been ever since. We don't know exactly who it was written to, but from the context of the book itself, it's thought that it was written to a Jewish Christian community, maybe in Rome, not sure where, but it was someplace where they were under very severe persecution. And many people in that congregation were tempted to just give it up, to give up this new faith that they had found and go back to their old ways. So it is said that that encouragement, that word of encouragement to people to hold on, is the great purpose of the letter to the Hebrews. It's said that the Greek in that letter is amongst the most beautiful Greek in the whole of the New Testament. I took 3 years of Greek in seminary, and I could not attest to that myself. But I take it on faith in the scholars that it is beautifully written Greek. And here we get two ideas, I think, at the end of this passage today that can encourage us in the months that are ahead. And it starts with the 23rd verse of that 10th chapter of Hebrews. It starts off, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. That first part is about being a provoker. And then the second point, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What was that day approaching? Was it the second coming of Christ? Or was it, as the author might have thought, another round of severe persecution? We don't know which it was, but it is clear what his message is. Together, we can make it as a community. As a community. As individuals, no. As a community, yes. So let's think about that first part. Excuse me, my throat is dry. That word provoke is not one you usually hear in scriptures. It's very rare that it's in the Bible at all. And when you think of provoke, my guess is you usually think of it in a negative context. Am I right? But here, it's obviously in a context of positive action. To provoke someone, and I think it's usually other people that we provoke, it means to incite someone, to stimulate their feelings and emotions. You see how that gets used in a negative way? You are so provoking. You know, you bring out in me emotions that I don't want to have, but you provoked those. To spur someone on to action. Okay, that works in the negative, But the letter to the Hebrews, the writer saying that being a provocative person can also be in a positive way. I believe the writer is trying to say that our faith and hope can survive in a time of challenge only in the life of community. You see, it's a two-way street. You're not the only one that's meant to be a provoker. Everyone else in the community is supposed to be provoking you as well, but provoking you to good and to good deeds. So you see how this kind of attitude in a whole community can lead to strength and growth and a time of hope. We all need to be encouraged by someone else. We're not always so good at encouraging ourselves. We can be encouraging of others, and others can certainly be encouraging for us. And that's what builds the community. That's what's going to build the community here. You already have the basis of a solid, strong community. It will keep you through these next months. The second part of that verse says, don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. This is not a time to say, well, you know, I think I'm just going to take a break. I'll wait till the vestry gets it figured out, and then I'll come back and see if I like the new person, and we'll go on from there. That won't do. That will not keep the community strong. It will only keep strong if we stay together through this period of time. So keep coming to church each week. My guess is that those of you who are here today are involved quite deeply in the life of this congregation. Keep that going, and the various organizations and groups that you're part of, keep faithful to those as well. And be mindful of that other person who is sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you, sitting with you in a meeting. And let that time together be a time when you encourage each other. How can we provoke one another to good works? It could be something as simple as really listening to that other person, to really listen to them. You know, one of the provisions of that group called Listening Hearts was that when you're in a conversation with somebody in a meeting or in a conversation, that you actively listen to them without trying to formulate in your mind what you're going to say in response. That's hard to do, to really listen and wait until you've heard what that person is saying before you respond. That active listening is a way of encouraging each other, and I think it's terribly important. Another is the simple thing we do each Sunday when we exchange the peace and we say to each other, the peace of the Lord be with you and also with you. What are we talking about? We're talking about that shalom of God, that peace of God which passes all understanding, that deep peace that we all long for in our hearts. So when you exchange the peace, look at that other person, look them in the eye, and let them look you in the eye. Eye contact, it can kind of be scary sometimes, because isn't it said that when you look in a person's eyes, you sometimes can look at their soul? You know what a deep thing that could be just to share eye contact with somebody? Don't worry, it only has to be for a second. But that can be powerful, can't it? When we look at each other and say, peace. I'm reaching out to you and saying, I hope the peace of Christ will be with you. and you can see that in my eyes, and I can look at your eyes looking at me as you say peace and wishing me that same peace deep in my heart. That's a powerful thing. We do it so casually sometimes, as if it's just intermission time in the service and it's kind of a break to find out what's going on and the people. No, it's not about that. It's about exchanging the wish and the hope and the prayer for the peace of Christ to be in our hearts. So, be a provoker. Be a provoker to encourage others in this community to good works and to love. And in that sense, we are what I like to call, we're practicing Christians. Like a pianist always practices, like an organist always practices, like the choir always practices. When can you say we don't need to practice as a choir? No, never. As a musician, you never get to the place where you don't have to practice. And it's the same thing in our lives as Christians. We have to practice. We have to practice. And we fail sometimes, so we stand up and we practice some more. We live in a world that is in short supply of the basic Christian virtue of putting the other person first. That is not the way our world today works. So that simple golden rule seems to be very out of favor. But that's what makes us Christians. That's what makes us followers of the way of Jesus. And it takes a lot of practice. So in this time of change for St. Edward's, practice your encouragement of each other. The unknown author of Hebrews assures us that it will strengthen your hope in the one who has promised to be faithful to us. May the Lord be with you as you begin this part of your journey as the people of God in this place. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.
Eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the world and the life of the world to come.
Us with fear at all time of Michael will bring life to those who have been faithful, just, and wise. Aware of the need for new order, let us pray that God's reign will come in fullness and your reign come, Lord, hear our prayer.
Today, in our Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for Bermuda, extra provincial to the Archbishop of Canterbury. In our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for the Church of the Holy Trinity, Hollidaysburg. We pray for Christians, Muslims, Jews, and all people of faith throughout the world who are suffering persecution for their beliefs. In our parish cycle of prayer, we remember Michael and Sandy Patrone, Tim and Lynn Peters, Kate Peterson, Elaine Radcliffe. Our Thanksgiving flowers are given to the glory of God and by Dottie Schwen in memory of Paul Schwen and Kate Miller. And we bid your prayers for those listed in our bulletin, as well as our military personnel. We pray for the leaders of this world that, abandoning the terrible power of nuclear weapons, they may trust instead to ways of peace. May your reign come. We pray for the church, that it always may be a sign of your loving presence and a sign of hope, even in the darkest times. May your reign come. We pray for victims of warfare and natural disasters, especially remembering our neighbors in California suffering from the fires, that you may comfort them in their suffering. May your reign come. We pray for all those who suffer from despair, especially young people, that you may give them the courage to build for the future. May your reign come. We pray for this community of faith, that we may learn to respond to the signs of the times with wisdom and grace. May your reign come.
Loving God, you know our hopes and fears even before we speak them. Hear the prayers of your people. Help us in our struggle to stay alert, that we may be ready for the hour of your coming. We ask this through Christ, our Son. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Peace and the Lord be always with you,
and also with you.
Peace.
to give him vast praise.
This is my blood in the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. Therefore, according to this command, O Father, we
remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory.
As we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine, we pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood in the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with blessed Edward and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting privilege of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Amen.
Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Life is short, and we do not have too much time to gladden the hearts of those we meet. Be swift to love, make haste to be kind, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.